Be seated.
It's wonderful to have Harry Johnson and Lance Hagler joining the worship team. I always love it when I'm discovering some new gift or ability that you all have, and I'm always blessed by that. So thank you, worship team, very much. Hey, there's just several things I wanted to bring to your attention before Chad comes. Welcome to Chad and to Isaac, who will be here just getting some special time of rest, going on a fishing trip with Dad. Jerry and Kathy Crow, are you here? Okay, I believe this was to be their final Sunday. They're moving, and we just want to say thank you to them. Thank you for their love for the Lord, their love for us. Jerry did a lot of behind the scenes work. Of course, we know him as part of the worship team, but those flowers out front around the flagpole, he took care of all that and some of the other landscaping and other things. I think they were taking care of the windows for a long time. Not an easy job, but if you think of it, if you could just send them a text or a note and wish them well as the Lord. Is it Iowa? Do I remember that correctly? Is they're moving to Iowa, and he has a sister, I believe, there. But Jerry and Kathy, thank you, and we'll miss you. We're grateful to you. All right, I'd like us all, just in your families too, to remember Betsy Embry, as she has major surgery this coming Tuesday at Community South, abdominal surgery. And so we want to remember her, the rest of the family, in prayer. Also the Smothers family, as Greg and Joni and Chelsea have all tested positive. But Joni is home, is that right, from the hospital? So we're very thankful for that. And again, it's already been mentioned, but congratulations to Tony and Christy on the birth of their first grandbaby, a son, Kingsley Rose. Rose, of course, named after his great-grandpa, Roosevelt. And so congratulations to Alyssa and Mike Humphrey. And we're so excited. Welcome to this amazing season, this beautiful season of life. And just many, many other needs. And we want to just remember to pray for each other. Beth Grafman's daughter Mary's having gallbladder surgery on Tuesday, and her grandson Noah having breathing problems. So, beloved, it's just good to belong to the family of God, to bear each other's burdens, to pray for each other. You know, I've said many times over the years, whatever has been entrusted to you has been entrusted to us. We're the body of Christ. If I'm nailing a shingle on the roof and put a nail through my hand, which would not be an unimaginable thing, trust me, my whole body would be involved. Every part of me would be reacting to that, and it should be that way spiritually. Whatever has been entrusted to you has been entrusted to us. And so let's pray right now. Father, we praise you and thank you that we have been invited into your presence, that we can call you Abba, our precious Father who loves us and delights in our presence. And Father, so much to thank you for. Thank you for all of your faithfulness to us this week, for meeting our needs and providing opportunities to minister to those that you love. We want to, Lord, remember our brothers and sisters with just special needs. Father, for Betsy, we commit her, we commit this surgery to you on Tuesday, and pray that it will accomplish everything that it's designed to, and we just wish her a very speedy and full recovery, that you'd minister to the entire family during this time. Lord, would you continue to bring healing to Greg and Joni and Chelsea? Thank you that Joni is home, and I pray that soon they'll be strong and back with us. Father, that you'd bless Beth's daughter Mary in her gallbladder surgery on Tuesday, that would go well, that she too would fully recover, and that, Father, that you would speak a word of healing to little Noah. Father, and allow these breathing problems to be corrected. Just 10 months, Lord, just our hearts go out to this little one. Father, we thank you so much for a new grandson and Lord, the Cloud family. And Lord, what joy. We praise and give you thanks. And Lord, we ask that you'd bless Jerry and Kathy as, Lord, they're going to a different corner of the harvest field. Lord, I know they'll be a tremendous blessing to their new church. Lord, I know that Jerry's sister is happy to have Jerry and Kathy there. But Lord, we're grateful for all they did, all they invested in us. And Lord, I just thank you for their joyfulness and their encouragement. And so, Lord, bless them, please, in every way. And how we do thank you for the time they were with us. So, Lord, we ask your blessing on our time with Chad, and thank you that he and Isaac made the long trip from Ghana safely. How we look forward to hearing that report. And, Lord, we ask all this in Jesus' name. Amen. Beloved, before Chad comes, you'll notice in the bulletin this directory information update. And so if you would, we'd love to know your birthdays. It doesn't have to be the birth date. We don't have to know the year you were born if you don't want. But I like writing a note to everybody on their birthday. If we have your birthday, I would love to do that for you and your family members, also your anniversary. So... also, if there's been a change of address or phone number or email, that's would be very helpful. It's certainly not mandatory, but we just invite you to do that right now. All right. Well, Chad, welcome once again. Where are you, brother? And I'll give you the rest of the time.
Good morning. It's good to be home. Glad to be back and enjoying American food again. As you can see, I don't do too bad while I'm in Africa. I still maintain my girlish figure. But it is good to be back and with family, and I got to meet my grandson for the first time yesterday, and that was certainly a blessing. He's, what is he, 16 months old now? So I got to meet him for the first time, and he is fun, just like his grandpa, throws fits all the time, but, you know, we survive. But as you notice my outfit, I don't normally wear things like this. I don't normally have pink. I don't like pink. Marnie slipped this into the tailor without me knowing it. But this is my wedding outfit for Melissa's wedding. And it was quite the spectacle, having Missy's wedding there in Ghana, getting married to a Ghanaian man. They are now rock stars in the country, because any white girl who would want to marry a Ghanaian man is elevated and praised. They went to, on their honeymoon, and this luxury hotel that they were able to stay at for a couple of days treated them like they were just, everybody knew them in the whole place, even though they had never met them. They all knew that they were the newlyweds, and they gave them extra food and extra things, and it was just a tremendous time. Had over 300 people at the wedding just to see what would happen. something special or spectacular would happen with a Ghanaian guy marrying a white girl. And I think they were a little disappointed, but it was exciting. We had a lot of fun. And I bring Marnie's love and all the kids there, their love to you. But I'm going to start off by showing you a presentation of what we're doing in Ghana now, what's been going on, some of the changes. So we'll let that roll, and I'll let you enjoy that for a few minutes.
It's amazing. I'm a fan.
So there's a short little nugget about what we do. Many of the things we're focusing on. You know, it's amazing as a missionary for the last 12 years, we've seen our ministry change quite a bit. When we first went, I was going to teach Bible school at a college with ABWE, and I did accounting work for the team there because no one there wanted to do it, and it was a big mess. So somebody had to fix it, and we worked with youth. And we did that for 3 years, and as we lived there in the village among the people, and as we saw the needs of the people, we realized this way that we have been taught to do things isn't working. And we need to change our focus a little bit. So the second time we went, we began changing some of the things we were focusing on. We started focusing more on youth, and I did a soccer team and program, and that worked well. Several of the young men got saved and started following God, and then we did a lot of the welfare program, where we were supporting children and helping them and taking care of their needs. We saw children going to school without food every day and not getting any food, and except for one time a day they would be fed, and that's at 5 o'clock at night. And they had to eat as much as they could, which there wasn't very much in the first place. And so we saw so many children who were in desperate need. They were malnourished and struggling. And so God gave us a heart to help those children. And we worked with the youth, and I tried to help the church grow. And then as we came back this last time, the soccer program just kind of, there was corruption in Ghana, which, surprise, surprise, there's corruption in any politics anymore. But there was corruption, and so they shut down the whole soccer program in Ghana. And so the soccer team went away. And so my ministry started to change again, and focusing more on the church and trying to help the church. And then God gave us a vision. Something we had talked about for 3 or 4 years before was the academy and starting a school, because we saw the education program that was failing these children. As we were working with 7th and 8th and 9th grade kids who couldn't even read, the ball, they couldn't read anything. And so God began working on our heart and saying, you know, we can do this. So we began focusing our ministry on children. And then we felt the hurt of a lot of the young men we had been working with. A lot of them had decided that, you know, it's not that much fun going to church and working for God. I want to do something else, and started living their life in sin. Guys we had put 6, 7, 8 years into started following the world's teachings. Started looking for the blessings of God, money, riches, because that's what a lot of the pastors preach in Ghana. You need to obtain your blessings from God. All the money He has for you is there, but you have to give before you can get. Or you have to do this or do that. And it became their obsession. And pretty soon their obsession for money became obsession for girls and alcohol and many other things. And we got burned by these several young men that we had put so much time and help into. And as we began looking and focusing, and God began opening our eyes to realize that you can't change culture when it's been steeped in sin for hundreds and hundreds of years without the power of God changing it. And we started talking and looking and praying and reading, and we realized that the only way we can change people is starting with their kids and changing these kids and showing them the way to live for God. As the verse said, train up a child in the way he should go, and he will not depart from it. And so we grabbed a hold of that and said, you know what? Let's start training these kids when they're 2 years old. Start teaching them the truth of God's word. Start teaching them what it means to be a believer in Jesus Christ. And it has blessed us. And so our ministry now is trying to help children in the education. It has gone so well, we are getting reports back from parents. This last term, we started a new term in May. And we had four parents who have their young children in our school. And their young children have surpassed their brothers and sisters who are 3-4 years older than them in the government schools. These younger brothers and sisters can read better, can spell better, can do math better than their 9-10-year-old brothers and sisters. And so they want to put their 9-10-year-old brothers and sisters in our school in kindergarten, in our kindergarten 2 class. And they are just praising us for the way we are teaching their children. This one lady who knows no English, and her child knew no English when she came to our school. And she came and told Maoli, who is one of our school administrators, who helps Marnie do a lot of the paperwork and all of that. She came to Maoli and told him a story. She said, I was working in the house, cooking and things, and my daughter came and started singing, her 3-year-old daughter, who she didn't know any English, but she started singing, "Jesus Loves Me." And the mother said she had to go find someone in the village to come and tell her what the little girl was singing, because she had no idea. And when she found out she was singing that "Jesus Loves Me," she broke down in tears. The impact that our academy is going to make in our village, and even in other villages, we bring kids in. We drive our car out and pick up kids in other villages, bring them to our school every morning. But the impact that it's making is just tremendous. And just the short time we've had, because, you know, that COVID thing really knocked us for we missed a whole year of school, to the point where Ghana has changed its schedule for schooling. And now we go from January to December for a full school year. But God is blessing in many ways. But the heart of it is the kids. I have one young boy who Marnie wants to adopt, bring home. She's got many kids she wants to keep bringing in our house. And I said, "Honey, we've got plenty right now. Our beds are full. I don't have any extra beds." Of course, then we kick Missy out finally, get her out of our house. We have one bed open, and she's trying to fill it with 5 kids. I said, "Marnie, no." But there are so many children who never know what love is. I have one young boy. He is mentally disabled. He had fetal alcohol syndrome. His mother is a drunk. His father is a drunk. His father beats him. He's 7 years old, but only has the mind capability of a 3-year-old. You can ask him a question, and he can't even remember his name some days. It's really bad. But the kid smiles at everything. Isaac will go up and push him down, because Isaac's the bully of the school. And he'll stand up and just start laughing at him. The kid is so sweet. Every time I walk on the campus to go take something to the school, or he just comes right up and he'll grab a hold of my hand and hold my hand as long as I'm there. Every morning when Marnie arrives at school, that little boy is there ready for school. And he comes up and he hugs Marnie every single time with a smile on his face. This boy will never see love in his house as long as his parents are unbelievers and as long as they're drunkards. The only love that boy will ever see is when he is in our school. And he has Marnie and the teachers who are willing to love on him no matter what. We're not going to be able to help his education, but you know what? We can give him hope. We can give him love. That's what Jesus wants us to do. He wants us to give kids love. We have one lady. We talk about helping the motherless and the fatherless and many others. And we have one young lady, one lady who was married to a man, and she had two kids with that man. And then she got pregnant again. And when she told her husband that they were having twins, that night he left and never came back. Don't have any idea where he is. Nobody to take care of them, these kids. Nobody to take care of the wife. She didn't even really have a job. She has a junior high education. And so she basically will make baskets or mats or things like that. And that's how she makes an income for her family. But she had twins. No family to help her. Nobody to come along and give her any hope. And then we stepped in and we paid for her child to go to our school. And now hopefully her twins will turn two soon. And we will put them in school too and take care of them some way, whether we get supporters or whether Marnie and I do it ourselves. But this lady has no hope. These children have no hope for eternity. But the little bit of love we can show them, the love that Jesus has for them, can change their life around. And that's why we're there. We're instruments of God to show love to people who will never... kids who will never see love from their families. And I can give you story after story. Every week it's a new one. Every week it's a heartbreaking story. Every week it gets me angry because I want to go beat the husband or the father senseless because he's selfish. But we want to be, we're there to be able to help and show love and show care and show these kids that there's a hope. And Jesus is that hope that they can have. And so we are thrilled to be able to serve as ambassadors of New Life. Some of the future things, as was mentioned on the screen, is we bought land, four plots, which is 1 acre of land. It is currently being mapped out for us by the land commission, and hopefully we will be able to start moving the blocks we have molded. We've made enough blocks to be able to lay the foundation for the building. But the building we have visioned for will it'll be a two-story building with 10 rooms, a library, a lunchroom, a cookhouse, bathrooms, everything associated with it. And with $30,000, we believe we can get all the work done to build that building. Now, we don't need all those classrooms right away. But by January, we do need to do something, have something built, because we're gonna start another class. We'll start primary one in January, and we'll need another room to be able to have those students in. But the land is just outside of our village. It is not far away. It's not far off the main road. And we are just praying that God will provide. You know, if you want to provide the whole $30,000, I'll name the school after you. We'll change the name. We'll do all the paperwork to change the name and name it, you know, whatever your name is, we'll call it that. I am not ashamed of doing that. So, but, you know, anything that can be given is going to be a tremendous help and a blessing to be able to do the work and the vision we have for the future of Sustained Hope Academy. We are hoping to get it through what we would call here ninth grade. We have 3 years of junior high school, and that is 7th, 8th, and 9th for us here, that we'll have classes for up to. If God gives us the vision to go on to high school level, we will do that, but it's a lot more difficult in Ghana to do that than it is here because of the education system and the government requirements. But God can do anything. God can change a lot of things, as we've seen in our country and as we've seen in the U.S. One change of government can change a whole lot of things, and we are praying that God will continue to work. Another future vision we have is planting a English-speaking church, a New Life Baptist church, in somewhere in the area where we're at. That will be in English only. These English-only churches we have in the city of Ho, which is, you know, just a 7-8 minute drive from where we're at, are doing great things with the gospel of Christ in the city of Ho. And we envision that that's a possibility for us because we're getting more affluent people moving out into the village area because it's cheaper to build a home out in the village than it is to lease or rent a home in the city. And so we are praying that maybe even on this land that we will be able to have a church that is focused on English, focused on the love of God, to show people and give them the hope that we have for all eternity. So pray for us. That's a 2 to 5 year vision as to what God will do with that. But just pray for us as we continue to grow in those areas. And of course, the welfare program is still going strong, helping so many different people. Children scholarship programs, getting kids to go to high school and even into university level. God has blessed us to be able to help so many. We currently have 18 in the program, but that doesn't count the 32 children that we have already sent through high school level. And it doesn't count the six young people that we have sent through college level education. So there's so many opportunities, so many needs for people to be willing to take on one of these children and help. And you can talk to me more about it. I didn't have time to print the kids' cards off that I normally have that you can support, but I will get those printed off and I'll get them set out somewhere where if you want to, you can pick a child to support for the ministry. But didn't quite have time. I do have prayer cards out on the table, out on the counter where you sign up for things. So if you want an updated picture of our family, it's out there. So you're welcome to take those, as many as you want. But as I mentioned, God has changed our ministry. And a question that people ask me, even in Ghana, I get this question asked of me when I'm in the capital city all the time, in Accra. Why are you here? Why are you doing this? Especially with those people you're working with, the Efe people. And I said, you know, I do it for one reason, and that is because of my love for God. I said, if I didn't love God, I wouldn't be here. Because it's not an enjoyable place to live, I'm telling you. When your power goes out at any time, any moment of any day, and you have no idea how long it'll be out, it's frustrating. It's very frustrating. When we went a month and a half without water, and we were trying to fetch water from different places wherever we could, even try to pay for water to be filled into our, you know, into our big tank that we have, it was really weighing on me. It was a struggle. And then God opened the door for us to have a well drilled, and now I don't have that worry anymore. I don't have that struggle. But why would you want to do that? Why would you want to go to a place where you can't even buy anything but chicken? Chicken. Chicken. 365 days a year, chicken. Why? It's because of my love for God. And because of God's love for his people. I want you to turn to Matthew chapter 22. I'm going to read some verses for you. Verse 34 is where I'm going to start. Hearing that Jesus had silenced the Sadducees, the Pharisees got together. One of them, an expert in the law, tested him with this question. Teacher, which is the greatest commandment in the law. Now, this is the Pharisees trying to trick Jesus into answering a question that they knew would be a social problem for Jesus. Because you had the ultra-liberal Pharisees who were adding to the law. You know, there were 614 commandments in the Old Testament that they were supposed to follow. And then there was this group of religious leaders who would add to it. For instance, the Sabbath day, we have to keep it holy. We can't work on it. Well, what does it mean to not work on the Sabbath? Well, these religious leaders would add 40 different laws defining what keep the Sabbath holy meant. And so they expanded the whole concept of following the law to where it made it almost impossible for anybody to follow because of the difficulties they're making. Then there were the conservative ones who wanted to reduce it and make it smaller. So if Jesus answered one way, he'd be in trouble with one group of religious leaders. If he answered the other way, he'd be in trouble with the other group of religious leaders. And then if he didn't answer anything at all, then both sides would be angry at him. So he's kind of in a pickle. But not Jesus. Jesus knew what they were trying to do. And so he says, Jesus replied, "Love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind. This is the first and greatest commandment. And the second is like it. Love your neighbor as yourself." All the law and the prophets hang on these two commandments. Once again, Jesus baffles the religious leaders and basically tells them, you obey two laws, you're going to obey all the laws of the command in the Old Testament that you've put out there. If you love God and you love others, you're going to follow all the laws. Think about it. Look at the Ten Commandments. They either you follow it and you love God or you love others. Thou shalt not steal. You're loving other people by not stealing their things. You shall not commit adultery. You're loving other people by not stealing their wives or their husbands. Thou shalt not take the Lord's name in vain. You're loving God by showing him honor and glory and respect. And you can do that through all the laws. You just put love God or love others. The two greatest commandments, he says, you'll follow everything if you just follow those two commands. Now, I could preach you a sermon for probably 2 months on what it means to love God with all your heart, soul, and your mind. But I don't have that kind of time. And neither do you. But do we truly love God the way Jesus commanded? Do we love God with all of our heart, with all of our soul, with all of our mind? In other words, nothing in this world is more important to you than God and serving Him and obeying Him and His commands. The problem is the world we live in points to loving yourself. You know all the slogans that these ad companies put out for these big companies? You deserve a break today at McDonald's. I don't deserve a Big Mac, filet of fish, quarter pounder, french fries, icy Coke, milkshake, whatever pies, whatever it is. I don't deserve that. I don't need that. But you deserve it, right? Because you work hard. You need to love yourself. All these new fads that come out here where it says you need to love yourself, love this, love that. You know what? It would all be taken care of if we just loved God the way He would like us. The way He teaches us in the Bible. But too many times we put the focus on ourselves rather than on our God. Marnie and I do what we do because our love for God and for other people. If it wasn't for the love I have for God and the love God has for the people that I serve, I would not be in Ghana, that's for sure. But we love our God because of how great He is and what He has done for us. It's crazy how God can love us. There's a book by Francis Chan called Crazy Love, and I enjoy it. I enjoy the book, and he has an illustration that I think helps us get an understanding of who we really are. And he said, you know, imagine that you are in a movie and you're one of those little extra people that they film walking down the street and all they see is the back of your head. And so you're famous for 2 seconds, at least the back of your head is, on this movie. And so you're so excited that you're part of this movie that you're like, hey, look at me. And so you rent out a whole theater. You know, but only your mom and maybe your sister can recognize the back of your head. And you rent out a whole theater and say, come, invite all your friends, watch this movie that's about me. And so they all come in for this 2-hour movie and all they see is 2 seconds of your head. The movie's not about you. In that same way, God is the star of our film. God has been here for all eternity. The earth's been around for a little over 6,000 years. And we're here for what? 70 years? Maybe more if we're lucky? Basically, less than 1% of the time that the earth has been around, that God has been in control, we're a part of this world. This is God's movie that we're in. This is all about God. And because God created us and God has done everything for us and God has planned us from before we were born, He planned what we were doing. He has plans for us. And yet, we tend to make it about ourselves in this life rather than about God. And so why do we do this? Because this world, nothing in this world is important other than God. Family's great. I love my family. But I don't love them more than God. God's my creator. God's the one I follow. God's the commands I follow. If it was up to my parents, I would not be in Ghana, that's for sure. I wouldn't have their grandkids in Ghana. We would be living here, doing something. But people call us crazy because we put our lives on the line every day in Ghana for our God. It's not about what I get. It's not about what Marnie gets. It's not about what the people get. But it's about what God gets, and that's the glory. And people are, these parents are coming up to us, these families that we're helping with welfare, and they come up to us and say, oh, I thank you. You have brought such a blessing to us. You have encouraged us. And those are the great moments, but there's more bad than there are great. Because people are sinful. People talk. People have tried to kill us and failed many times. Why are you there? Because of our love for God. You know, all of you know that I'm a big fan of DC Talk. That was my group growing up. Changed my life in many ways. Changed my focus on ministry. They got together and did another song a few years ago. And it's called This Is Love. This is what love is. Poured out, used up. Still giving. Stretched out to the end of our limits. Empty. This is what love is. When you are loving as God wants us to do, which is loving God with all your heart, your soul, your mind, you will be poured out and you'll be struggling and things will seem empty, but God sees what you're doing. You know, it's easy to say we love someone, but it's easy to say, but a lot harder to do. especially when they're unlovable. And for us, we know there's several people in the village who don't like us, who don't like what we do, but yet Marnie will go up and give this lady a hug every time she sees her, even though she talks bad about us. Because that's what God wants us to do. We're showing her love, and hopefully God will change her heart through the love that she's being shown, because obviously she's not showing love, being shown love from anyone else. Because she's mean. She's trying to tear down God's work. But God still loves her. She's created in God's image, just like all of us. We have to show love. You know, everybody's favorite chapter in the Bible about love is 1 Corinthians 13. It's the love chapter. And many people use it out of context to prove that the sinful life they're living is there, it's all right because God still loves them. But too many people take the chapter out of context, because you got to read it along with chapter 12 and chapter 14 to understand why the Holy Spirit and Paul put it there in chapter 13. And it was because the church had division. The church was struggling. And as Pastor mentioned, you know, when you hit a nail in your hand, your whole body reacts. And Paul was trying to get that through to the Corinthians. We are all one body. We all hurt when each other hurt. We all love when each other are loved. We all rejoice when we all are rejoicing when one person has a time of rejoicing. And we all mourn when others mourn. So we hurt. We're all one body. And so Paul was trying to get that through to the Corinthians, but they were using competition and battles within for spiritual gifts and prominence in the church. But Paul says, none of that matters. It doesn't matter whether you can speak in tongues, whether you can prophesy, whether you're given lots of money. It doesn't matter if you're doing all these things. If you don't have love, it doesn't mean anything. The only thing that matters is love. So we can do all kinds of things. We can give money. We can do everything. But if we don't love the people, if we don't love others and give the way God wants us to give, love people the way God wants us to love each other and love Him, it means nothing. Where is your love today? Are you loving sacrificially? In other words, are you giving more than you have? To where you're poured out. You're stretched out to the end of your limit. Or is the things of this world keeping you all away from your love for God? Is it more important to watch the British Open than go and help a brother move to a different house? Where's our love? Are we following the two commandments? Loving God with everything we have. Every part of our being. Because God loves us first. That's pretty amazing that a holy God would love us because of the way we reject Him so many times. And then do we love others as we love ourselves? I love myself a lot. I love my food. I love my fans in my house because that's what keeps me cool. I love my children. But do we love others more than we love ourselves? Are we willing to give up our Starbucks coffee to help someone else and give them something that they might need? Starbucks isn't a necessity in life. I'm sorry, that might be hurting a few people. Starbucks is not a necessity in life. There are people who are hurting and struggling in life who don't have anything. Are we willing to help them instead of help ourselves? Where's our love focus? Are we following God's commands? Are you really stretched yourself out? Just look at yourself this week. Read some of the things that God says in 1 Corinthians 13 about love. Is my love like that? Am I truly loving people the way God loves me? Do I love people and willing to sacrifice the way God sacrifices for me? We do what we do because of our love for God. And I'll be the first to tell you, it is hard. Not seeing my grandson for 16 months of his life. That's hard. It's really hard. Marnie still hasn't met him. And it's hard for her. He's going to be over. He'll probably be at least 2 years old before Marnie will ever get to see him. To miss the first 2 years of his life. Some people say, then don't do it. Well, what's going to happen to this little girl? Her name is Victoria. She almost came into our house too. This is the last I'll give. She almost came into our house too. Her mother is the aunt of Daniel and Daniela, who are now living with us. And her mother is a prostitute in the village. She gave birth to this child and really didn't want it. She would take care of it, but at the age of 4 months old, she left the child in a gutter and went to a place to prostitute herself. Someone found the baby. It was starting to rain. The baby had feces all over it, was vomited all over itself, and took it in, cleaned it up. She came back the next day and found where the baby was and took the baby back. This went on for another 10 months. 5 times people found this baby in a gutter when she was off as a prostitute. Finally, at 16 months old, or 14 months old, a guy found the baby in the gutter. No clothes. Just helpless. And took the baby, cleaned the baby up, and took it to his mother. And said, take care of her. Don't let this girl have it back. And so the mother was a lady in our church. And so she began taking care of it. And somebody one of the elders came to us and said, you know, there's this baby, this is what's been going on. Can you please would you be willing to take this child in? And of course, we said, well, yeah. I mean, I don't want it a part of this woman's life. There's no love for this child. And so the lady, the mother came back from prostituting herself and wanted her child back, and they refused to give it to her. She said, oh, well. That's fine. I don't need her. And gave up her rights to that child. This woman who took her in and kept her going, she wanted to continue taking care of her. Praise the Lord that someone was willing to do that. We Marnie and I paid for little Veronica to come and be a part of our school. We got this mother, who is only a farmer, that's all she does, she farms. We got her some support. Someone is supporting the child now. But stories like this happen monthly, where a child comes into our view and we see the lack of love from the family for that child because it's an inconvenience. God has called us to Ghana to show the love of Christ to the people who have no hope. And that's what sustained hope is all about. Giving children hope for their future so that they can experience the love of God themselves and become a believer in Jesus Christ and follow Him. That's who we are. That's what we do. That's why we do it. Who would help that little girl if Marnie and I weren't there? Who would help these children who have no fathers and have no mothers, who are orphans, if it wasn't for God allowing us to be there to serve Him? So we ask you, pray for us, because it is emotional sometimes, very emotional time, and it drains you when you're showing that much love to children and people. But pray for us as we continue to serve God and minister. If you're willing to support a child or help the school out, please be willing to talk to me afterwards. We can talk. If you have any questions, I'll be around after the service to talk, you know, whatever you may have. But God's doing great things, and we love Him greatly. And we still love the people of Ghana greatly. Despite the difficulties, despite the tough times, God sustains us. And your prayers sustain us. So continue to pray for us. Let's pray. Our gracious Father, we are so grateful for your love. How you can love a people who turn away from you. You're seeing a world that is denying you and turning away and not wanting to follow you for their own pleasures, for their own happiness. The only thing that can truly make us happy is giving ourselves to you and loving you and following your commands every day of our life. Because we know what we have. It's a short time on this earth. Just a short little 70, 80 years. May we make an impact on people's lives. May we show them your love that you have for them so that someday they can be in eternity with us. Lord, I pray you will challenge our hearts to examine us, see if we are truly loving each other, and loving you as you have commanded. We pray this in your name.